I'd like to move to the devotional because it led me to skip a whole portion, at least that I felt was important in the story of the Exodus. And it touched me really deeply. And I want to share it with you. And I pray that the Spirit will impact us in seeing the gentleness and the kindness and the trust in God. And so the story starts, believe it or not, in Genesis 15. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to do a little work here, but we won't go past Exodus. So it's just Genesis and Exodus. This is Genesis chapter 15. The Lord makes a covenant with Abraham. This is by way of the wilderness, part 11, the missing part. This is it. The Lord has made a covenant with Abraham. And he takes him out and he shows him the stars. And then he comes in the night. And he's in a deep sleep. But in this deep sleep, the Lord appears to him. Verse 12 of chapter 15. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And they will serve them and they will afflict them 400 years. Now, verse 14, he adds, "And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions." And then he offers him a promise. "As for you, you're going to live a good life." Right? So the key point here is they're going to be servants. They're going to be afflicted. They're going to be there 400 years. But when they leave, they're going to leave with great possessions. Now, I'm putting this together from the beginning, but it actually came to me backwards because we're in Exodus. And so I started to work my way backwards. But this is the first text, Genesis 14, 15, where the Lord makes this promise that when they leave, they're going to leave with great possessions. And so we fast forward now from Genesis 14. We're going to move to Exodus chapter 3. Of course, this is the burning bush. This is the calling of Moses. And in the midst of this conversation that the Lord is having with Moses, pleading with him, if you would, that Moses allow the Lord to fulfill the purpose that the Lord had for his life, that Moses had misappropriated and tried to do on his own. He says in verse 19, "But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go." Verse 21, this is where we're going. In verse 21, he says, "And I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." Well, it's kind of like the same thing that he said to Abraham, except 400 and some years later. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to suffer great affliction when they leave. They're going to leave with something. You see, because the dream that the Lord has shown Pharaoh that ends up being revealed or interpreted by Joseph is what allows the Egyptians to prepare for the famine that is to come. And so not only are they prepared, they sell the food. And when the food is running, well, when people not only are running out of money to pay for the food, then they pay with property. So the Pharaoh is enriched and he's grateful to Joseph. But that Pharaoh dies, and the one that comes instead start to see the people, the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, the children of Jacob, as a nuisance. And they enslave them. But because God is a God of fairness, he says, my people that went down there and blessed the Egyptians, through whom I blessed the Egyptians, instead, they were afflicted, they were enslaved, they were oppressed, they were murdered. That's not fair. They worked under this bitter affliction. They won't leave empty-handed because it's not equitable. And so we move with that to Exodus chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord said to Moses. Now, remember, this is 9 plagues have gone by. It's about the 10th one is about to come. The Lord says to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people. When the time comes to leave, he doesn't want to let you go. But when he does let you go, it's going to happen in a flash. So talk to the people beforehand so that you can be prepared. Remember, that's why they're eating the Passover and they're dressed and the bread is unleavened. There's no time for it because when the time comes, they have to leave. So in anticipation that they're going to leave in a rush, he says, speak to the people. Speak now in the hearing of the people and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, a small detail here, it says that the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine? He's headed to the market and people are looking. We live in New York City. You know how every once in a while you may be about to get on the one. And all of a sudden, you see an actor. You're like, wow, look, this. Or by Madison Square Garden, you're getting out of Penn Station and say, look, that's Patrick Ewing. Apparently, people aren't recognizing Ewing in the garden these days. But Moses is going by, and they say, look, that's Moses. That's the guy. That's the Hebrew guy that he was here, and he killed, and then he left, and he's the one. It says that Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. God had given them favor. And in chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, it says, once the angel has passed over, and there's a great wailing on those that have not been covered by the blood of the Lamb. It says, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. It was time to leave. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. And it says, not only did they grant what they requested, they left and they plundered, meaning they got all of that time in servitude that they had been afflicted and worked for nothing. Are we still together? Okay, we fast forward. Chapter 25. You know what's happened. Chapter 19, preparations are being made. The Lord's going to appear. Chapter 20, he comes down and he speaks the 10 words, as it is known, the 10 commandments. And they could hear his voice. And they could smell the smoke and they could feel the quake, the sound of the trumpet. And as those instructions on how to deal with each other from chapter 21 to chapter 24 are given, we find ourselves in chapter 25. And look at what our God says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Wait a minute. The God of heaven that can do these great wonders, that comes down and the earth quakes, and the smoke and lightning and the thunder, the one who spoke the creation into, you need something from me? This is what it says. Speak to them, everyone that is willing from their heart to bring me an offering. Well, what does he want? It says, verse 3, and this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And then, what do I do with all of that? Ask them if they're willing to give me, to build me a house. The house is going to be built with their offerings. Because remember, they were enslaved and they had nothing. And they left and they plundered. And they received plentiful. All I'm asking is if they're willing to give me something back from their heart out of love. Because, you see, we're in a covenant. And I've blessed my bride. Would my bride be willing to bless me? It's not just that we're going to build the sanctuary. It's that the sanctuary is built by the things that we give him in love. Yes, and maybe we turn down $1.5 million. But that same God has a way of raising those funds and much more organically by his people in Manhattan who are committed to him, to doing his work with no strings attached, out of love. He didn't need to ask, but he says, all of those that are willing, that want to give from their heart, ask them to give so that we can build my sanctuary. So listen, we looked at the numbers. And we thank you for your faithfulness, for your giving that has kept this church afloat in this trying year that we've experienced. Thank you. I'm thanking you on behalf of the Lord. You didn't do that for me. The building, what we're doing, it's not for me. This is for him. But as your pastor, I am thanking you for your faithfulness. Not for what you gave, whether it was a lot or little. I don't care. Your faithfulness to God. Now, this is what I'm asking you. I'm not saying go sell your stocks. I'm not saying take out your retirement or your 401k. Don't misinterpret me. But because we are committed to be a people for God, and because we have tested him and we have seen how he has delivered us and how he has blessed us, what I am asking you is to be my partner to his glory in our city. That's all I am asking, that you will ask him, he who gives abundantly, that you will please pray with me, that he will show us the way, that he will give us the wisdom, that he will give us the deals. what needs to happen in our church, the Lord has known for a long time. The needs that we have, He knows. It's not a surprise to Him. We're just asking Him. You know why? Because in the process of pleading with God, something is also happening inside of me. Our faith is strengthened in the promises that He has made and that He cannot lie. God will provide. I don't know what that looks like, so I don't want you to be deceived. I just know if we surrender our lives to His purpose, we can never be placed in a position for which God has not made provision. All I'm asking you, I'm not even asking you to give more. I'm not asking you to give less. That's not my business. I am asking you, again, to be my partner in praying to the Lord, to bringing the things that are needed. The rest is up to Him. Are you willing to be a partner with me in that? Every day, in the morning, in the evening, in between, sometimes you'll forget, sometimes I forget. It's okay, the Lord never forgets. Whenever you think of this, of your walk with Jesus, think of the needs that we have. This is the most important church in the world. And we have the privilege to be a part of it, to lead it, to shape it to the glory of the God of heaven. That's all I'm asking. And so let's pray to Him. And let's give Him permission over this and make this covenant with Him. And so, Father, Your children have gathered again this afternoon to hear about the business of the church, the needs that it has, the challenges that we face, but also of our hopes. And Father, You have been faithful to us. You have provided, You have delivered, You have called us, and You have equipped us. And so we're here because we love You. We worship You because there is none like You. We gather and we plan and we think and we devise all of it to Your glory. And so, Father, our church, Your church, we're asking of You. We don't know what we ask, Lord. We only know that the needs that we have, we're going to put them in Your hands and ask that for Your glory, You will bring what needs to happen. From souls to know You, from the resources to build, from the workers that are willing to shoulder the weight, from the healing that needs to happen in our life, from the hope that needs to take hold of our heart, that even this great mountain before us can be moved. Not because it's for us, not because we have any power, but because You can, and because You are our God. And so, Father, Your children, as our heads are bowed and our hearts are inclined to You, I think of Daniel and that prayer that he prays where he asks for forgiveness. And he asks for Your grace, and he asks for deliverance. That in the books it has been said that the time has come. We believe that that time has come. And we believe that we are Your voice and sharing Jesus in our city. And so, Father, we give this all to You, asking for Your Spirit to be poured upon us bountifully, that our faces may shine like that of Moses because we've been with You. And Lord, as we conclude this prayer, may we have the peace of knowing that we have been heard. We have asked for nothing except for what You want. We have made a commitment with You and for You. And the rest, Lord, we're here to be Your stewards. Thank You again for the leaders and the members and and the faithful people of this church. We ask it all in the name of your Son, and for his sake. Amen.